occultation, of which the timing of the end of this occultation is only known by the Almighty Allah, that on the basis of this occultation and not knowing the exact time of the reappearance, that the believers should keep away from their sensual carnal desires and remain steadfast on the path they were on before this greater occultation, meaning on the path of the 11 divinely appointed imams. And they must not try to search out needlessly that which Allah the Almighty has concealed, as they would become sinful. And they must not try to expose the divine secrets, as they would regret it. So a very interesting passage in this dialogue between Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and Uthman ibn Sa'id. Of course, the first two points that Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, has put forth and has emphasized. Of course, one is to stay away from these carnal and sensual desires. If one has intimate relations in a halal and a permissible manner, then of course this is something that is permissible, it is halal, and it is even recommended. So one of the sunnah and traditions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, and one of the things that is highly emphasized in Islam, of course, is that one should get married, because marriage is a means by which an individual is able to satisfy their natural sensual and carnal desires in a permissible manner. But of course, staying away from these haram desires, carnal desires, base desires, is a must. And the other one, of course, is to remain steadfast on the path of the Almighty Allah, of course, on a path that trials and difficulties and tribulations will come forth, but one has to trust the Almighty Allah through all of these. The other parts, of course, do not try to search out needlessly that which Allah has concealed. And of course, the last one being that do not expose divine secrets, as you would end up regretting. These two aspects are a little bit vague, so I won't be able to conclusively say something in that manner. But of course, this idea that you should not expose divine secrets, that is common sense. And on the other hand, do not search out needlessly that which Allah has concealed. If it's concealed, then that means that it should be concealed. And to kind of dig up that thing which Allah does not want you to dig up, of course, is a sin in a very basic manner. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sister Khalfan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi Sahibul Zaman. First of all, this path of treading towards the advent of his zuhur is the path of wilaya, the path that we have to adhere the principles of people who are following this path of perfection. And this is none other than the divine leadership. And how do we go about paving this way is to make the whole society to be a single and unified body. In our surah Alhamd also, which we recite in our daily prayers, we say, Ihdina siratal mustaqim, guide us to the right path. We don't only say, guide me to the right path. We want everyone to be guided, the whole society to be guided. So here we are told to love one another for the sake of Allah. And this is one of the best actions. Even when we recite Dua Nutba of Imam Zamana, we are actually wanting to call out in this manner that, for example, هَلْ مِنْ مُعِينٍ فَأُطِيلَ الْأَوِيلَ وَالْبُكَى. Is there any helper to help me so that I can prolong my cry? That means here I want a helper. I want to be unified with someone to help me cry also. So it's like two people's efforts which are prolonged are more than working independently. And this shows that two people's capacities are tenfold. And Allah likes that unity. And then also, هَلْ مِنْ جَزُوءٍ فَأُسَائِدُ جَزَاءَهَ إِذَا خَلَى. Is there anyone sad that so that I can help him when he's alone? So this is a spiritual grief. I am ready to help someone who is alone. In public and in private, Allah wants us to help one another. This shows that everybody should be unified enough to bring that, the zuhur, closer. So this statement shows that one is ready to render help to the one in the community, even if he be alone. So it doesn't restrict one's relationship to mosques or streets only. Rather, in privacy also, it wants each other to care about one another, to ask about one another. It shows that one should ask around and find out the well-being of a person, ask around with goodwill, and also visit one to their homes. And it shows that one should share the pain with them and also try to solve the pain. There's another statement in the same dua. We call out and we are crying, as nutba means to cry. And to call out for the reappearance of Imam to be faster. So, هَلْ قَضِيَتْ عَيْنٌ فَسَاءَدَتْهَا عَيْنِي عَلَى الْقَضَىٰ. Is there any eye that is a split so that my eye can take and share some of the pain? So it shows that we want to even share each other's pain.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
A very bleak and somber day in Gaza, marking the start of Eid al-Fitr. The scenes here in the central part of the Gaza Strip are not the same as the usual ones. Empty streets, closed shops, and grieving families everywhere. And all that reverberated through is just the echoes of the strikes and artillery shells all around the Strip. Nonetheless, people wore new clothes and adorned their despair-filled streets, holding mere demonstrations of delight and steadfastness, and hoping that their suffering will know a very permanent end.
I hope the war will end, and we will spend the Eid as all other people. I wish to go to swings and play, not to be trapped and suffer like this. I was happy here with this initiative. We had some entertaining activities that brought us happiness. I'll also go to my aunt's home like others.
Despite the endlessly lingering consequences of Israeli genocide in Gaza and the unbearable trauma people have been subjected to during the last 17 months, the Eid comes at a time of grief and unending trauma. The children here in Deir al-Balah, who are internally displaced from their homes, have finally found out a glimmer of peace and joy to vent their pain, and their hope and resilience have never changed. Abu Bakr Abid, Deir al-Balah, Central Gaza, Occupied Palestine.
Controversial remarks by the Israeli envoy have sparked outrage among the Palestinian solidarity community in Austria. Addressing members of the Jewish community on March 20, Ambassador David Roeth is heard saying there should be a death sentence for 16-year-old teenagers in Gaza, and if Europe invests in rebuilding Gaza, Israel will have to destroy it the next time. Palestine solidarity activists launched a petition to the Austrian government calling for the expulsion of the diplomat.
In the video, he called for the death penalty for minors in Gaza and emphasized that Israel will continue to destroy Gaza. So he not only defended Israel's genocidal strategy, but even endorsed it. This is unacceptable for an international representative, and therefore he must be recalled.
The remarks have been heavily condemned by Jewish anti-Zionist activists in Austria who have recently launched the Vienna Jewish Anti-Zionist Declaration to strengthen Jewish pro-Palestinian voices in Europe. They criticized the close relationship between the Austrian Prime Minister Christian Stocker and the Israeli ambassador.
There is obviously a very close contact between Stocker and the Israeli embassy in a time where there is a genocide in Gaza, which is unacceptable for us, as a Jewish anti-Zionist initiatives, we condemn this strongly, and we will continue to pressure our government to stop all ties with Israel.
Some lawyers and solicitors prepared legal steps in response to the comments made by Roeth and those in attendance.
From a legal perspective, it's difficult to do anything because the ambassador is immune. The immunity would have to be lifted to prosecute him, and the government won't do that. The real scandal, however, is that the remarks aren't even being investigated by police.
While there is strong condemnation in the international media, Austrian journalists have been silent about the video.
Activists are outraged over the continued alliance between the genocidal regime in Israel and the Austrian government. In a balanced act of disrespect to the Palestinian community, no Palestinian representatives were invited to the annual iftar hosted in the city hall by the mayor of Vienna last Thursday. While no Palestinian representatives were invited, Israeli representatives attended the event and were seated in the first row. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
The Constitutional Declaration was expected to lay the foundation for a democratic transition that represents all Syrians. Instead, it centralized power in the hands of Jalani, granting him absolute control over government appointments, including ministers, third of the parliament, and a committee that will appoint the rest, while restricting any oversight on his authority.
The declaration contradicts the aspirations of Syrians for democracy, political pluralism, and peaceful power transition. Instead of allowing the people to elect their leaders, it strips them of that right. Even the parliament can neither grant confidence to the government nor hold it accountable.
Critics argue that the declaration lacks true democratic foundations, concentrating authority in a single leader rather than ensuring fair representation for all components of Syrian society. The disappointment appeared in the small number of people celebrating the anniversary of the Syrian revolution, which did not exceed a few hundred.
Unfortunately, the constitutional declaration leans away from democracy, placing excessive power in the hands of the president and excluding genuine participation. Worse, it addresses transitional justice selectively, shifting all blame to one side instead of ensuring accountability for all parties.
Beyond legal concerns, recent events on the Syrian coast have raised serious fears about the country's future. Armed factions linked to the new regime have been accused of grave human rights violations, including mass killings, acts that some experts warn may amount to crimes of genocide.
What happened in the Syrian coastal region raises serious concerns about the future and the potential for further oppression. While I hope for a solution that satisfies all Syrians, the current situation leaves many in fear of what's to come.
As Syrians grapple with a deepening crisis, the Constitutional Declaration has only added to political discontent and growing fears about the country's future. With power concentrated at the top and violence escalating, hopes for democracy seem more distant than ever. Ali Mohammed, Damascus.
In his annual meeting with government officials and foreign ambassadors on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, Iran's leader has called this religious celebration a shared practice that can help unite Muslim nations and as a result offer them protection against the enemy's aggression, such as the ongoing genocide in Gaza. An example of using people's support in a geographically strategic location to unite with the oppressed is Yemen, a nation that has successfully imposed maritime restrictions on the Israeli regime for its genocidal war on Gaza.
The Yemeni nation today has stood up against this aggression as we believe that the true power is with God Almighty. The Yemeni nation's trust is with God and the people's movement. With the honorable people standing by us in the resistance front, God willing, we will defeat the enemy.
In Iran, support for the Palestinian cause came with the 1979 Islamic Revolution.
From the early days of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, supporting Palestine has been one of the ideals of Iran to which the nation, the officials, and leader have remained loyal.
Since the parliament represents the people and they demand support for Palestine, we have taken legal action against the slaughter of Palestinians and the destruction of their land, among other steps.
Our stance is completely clear on the unwavering support for the resistance, which is a fundamental policy based on the ideals of the Islamic Revolution, as Iran's leader reiterated today. While resistance groups act independently, Iran will continue to support them.
Of course, standing up against world powers in solidarity with the oppressed comes at a price, which could be lessened if more Muslim nations joined in, and Eid al-Fitr is a great reminder of that responsibility.
For millions of Muslims across the world, Eid al-Fitr presents a fresh start and an opportunity to unite to restore peace and security and Muslim dignity. Maryam Azarcher, Tehran.
Amid relentless Israeli bombardment, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza performed Eid al-Fitr prayers over the rubble of destroyed mosques in displacement shelters and besides the ruins of their homes. The destruction of homes and places of worship has left many Palestinians with nowhere to gather for Eid prayers, further deepening the sense of loss during this sacred time.
This Eid comes at a very depressing time and amid circumstances of death, starvation, and bombing. But the people in Gaza insist on celebrating Eid despite everything, even if it only means performing the Eid prayer.
Reviving the spirit of Eid is an attempt by the people of Gaza to momentarily escape the Israeli resumption of the genocide and the grave humanitarian crisis caused by the ongoing blockade. However, the Israeli occupation insists on staining this day in particular with bloodshed and massacres.
I only came to the Eid prayer to fulfill a religious duty. However, there is no joy or happiness for us. As you can see, the mosque is destroyed, but despite that, they cannot erase our faith from our hearts, and we must pray.
In the 24 hours leading up to the Eid, the Israeli massacre intensified, leaving at least 50 Palestinians killed, the majority of whom were younger children playing close to the tents while dressed in minimally available Eid clothing.
This third Eid since the beginning of the genocide concludes with the sounds of the takbirs being mingled with the explosions of the artillery shells falling on the tents and the homes of the people, killing the children and burying their laughter under the rubble of their homes, and making this trip even a wider slaughterhouse. Ghad Ibrahim, Gaza City.
Here in Al Mawasi area in western Khan Yunis is one of the few amusement parks across the Gaza Strip, a place that once represented joy and celebratory moments for children and their families who are welcoming Eid after the end of the holy month of Ramadan. This place that was once vibrant with children and their families, the echoing of their laughter as they are riding these games, that are now standing idle, surrounded by hundreds of tents that were constructed by the Palestinian families who were forced out of their towns and were forced into endless cycles of displacement for more than a year now. These tents are now overshadowing this scene of having these games and joy for children.
This park used to be a reminder of fun and joyful times for families. For 2 years now, the occupation has stolen our happiness, depriving us of all our special celebrations. It's Eid, a time when we should be baking cookies and decorating our homes, but instead, we are homeless. Happiness has become an impossible wish these days.
This amusement park was filled with green spaces to receive the families in such special occasions, but what really gave this park its joyful aspect is the existence of many of the games, like the Ferris wheel, the pirate ships, the roller coaster, and all our modest games. But today, as the families are welcoming the Eid, these games stand idle. There's no way to power them because the families can barely find and secure their basic humanitarian needs. And now all these games are surrounded by this miserable scenes of tents, of displacement and suffering.
As we welcome Eid, all we wish for is for this genocide to end. For a year, we have been away from our homes, sheltering in a place we never imagined we'd be. We once brought our children here to celebrate and have fun on this special day, but now we can't even get them with new clothes or offer them safety.
For the second year in a row, the Palestinians across the Gaza Strip welcome the festive Eid al-Fitr with nothing but more miseries and suffering. This place that should be filled with the laughters of children is now covered and overshadowed by the miserable scene of displacement that doesn't seem to end any soon for the families here. Ahmed al-Najjar, Al-Mawasi.
Amid the devastation and despair, the people of Gaza have faced relentless bombardment, starvation, and displacement. Yet through this enduring crisis, one thing has remained unshaken in their collective spirit, their unwavering commitment to their lawful right of resistance.
After nearly 18 months of genocide, the people of Gaza have taken to the streets in an uprising against occupation, mass killings, and starvation, especially in Beit Lahia. The Israeli regime attempts to manipulate and sow division against the resistance is doomed to fail. Our resistance is inseparable from our existence, an undeniable right we will never relinquish.
Despite its advanced weaponry and relentless attempts to crush Gaza's spirit, the Israeli occupation has failed to break the will of the Palestinian people. Its brutal campaigns targeting civilian areas have only laid bare the true barbarity of the regime.
As Palestinians, our heart and soul are with the resistance. Our people remain aware of Israeli conspiracies. What the occupation failed to achieve through military force, it will not accomplish through deceptive plots.
While Israel's genocide continues, a more subtle and insidious attempt is being made, exploiting people's marches against the genocide in Beit Lahia, who erupted calling for the end of the Israeli war.
As the Israeli brutality intensifies, it is clear that the Gaza Strip will continue to be the battleground, not only for physical survival, but for the ideological and cultural soul of the Palestinian people. Ad Ibrahim, Gaza City.
The Israeli regime launched new airstrikes on several towns and cities across Lebanon on Friday in violation of a ceasefire with the Arab country. After two drone attacks, Israeli rockets targeted the Beirut southern suburbs, destroying two buildings.
As Lebanon marked Al-Quds Day, the Israeli occupation forces continued to pound the country. And for the first time since the ceasefire, Israel struck a residential neighborhood in South Beirut in an act which could jeopardize the already fragile truce.
The sounds of explosions were heard. Ambulances and firefighter trucks ran to the site. Yet the rallies to commemorate Al-Quds Day did not stop. Hezbollah officials stressed that despite the Israeli threats and continuous aggression, the resistance in Lebanon will not forsake Al-Quds.
On this blessed day, and in light of the current circumstances, we say that we renew our pledge to Al-Quds. We will not forsake Al-Quds. Together with all the honorable people in the nation, in Palestine and the Arab and Muslim world, and with the free people of the world, we will hold the banner of Al-Quds.
Palestinian activists also stressed that Imam Khomeini knew that defeating the arrogant tyrants and achieving victory is only possible if the Muslims and Arabs were united and mobilized for the sake of Al-Quds.
Our enemies have failed in their attempts to break the resistance despite the continued atrocities. Their barbaric genocide against the people of Palestine and the aggression on Lebanon and Yemen since the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. They have tried to weaken Iran since it is the only firm supporter of the resistance in the region, but they have failed.
It is Al-Quds that unites the Arabs and Muslims, and on this day we see the culmination of the efforts to face the common enemy. It is the shout of the oppressed in the region, but it is also the shout of the human conscience to confront the occupiers and liberate the Holy Land.
People of various faiths took part in Al-Quds Day celebrations in solidarity with Palestine and highlighted resistance as the only path to victory against the occupying regime. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
limelight.
In Gaza, the struggle for food is about more than satiating hunger. It is a battle for human dignity. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "The Zionist regime has tightened its chokehold on Gaza's crossings, preventing the entry of commercial goods and humanitarian aid. The renewed attacks, which have killed hundreds of people over the past week, signal a resumption of the war in which starvation was used as a deadly weapon. Not that the war ever really ended, the struggle to fill their bellies is one that families are still up against, with no reprieve during Ramadan, during which the fasts are traditionally broken by communal meals. Finding new ways to prepare familiar dishes with extremely limited ingredients is one means by which people are resisting. They improvise one recipes by using canned instead of fresh meats or onion and garlic powder when the vegetables, basic ingredients in cuisine, are nowhere to be found. With sugar expensive and scarce, people turn to honey or date molasses received by some families in aid packages to create dishes that satisfy their bodies and ease their psychological pain." Fish has been extremely difficult to obtain because of the siege on Gaza's coastal waters that is enforced by lethal fire by the Zionist regime navy. Food in Gaza is not merely sustenance, it is a symbol of steadfastness. The kitchen is not just a place for cooking, it is an open arena to protest the harshness imposed by the Zionist regime's genocide and severe restrictions which remain ongoing. One of the greatest challenges faced by Palestinians living in Gaza is the exorbitant cost of basic items. Cooking oil has become a luxury good, with families sometimes going months without being able to purchase any. A liter can cost $30 or more, depending on the status of Gaza's crossings and the prices demanded by exploitative traders, forcing people to use it sparingly. When Ramadan began earlier this month, which was soon followed by the Zionist regime's total closure of the crossings, the price of cooking oil spiked once again, and fresh foods such as chicken and meat became prohibitively expensive or unavailable once more. This phase of a struggle has been the harshest, with shortages of essentials and prices still sky high. No reconstruction, and the only option to get anywhere is on foot. And now, the Zionist regime collapsed the January ceasefire, which didn't last for a full 2 months. There is little relief to be found in Gaza, where there is little to be found of much of anything. Meat and chicken currently unavailable, families are resorting to some of the approximities of familiar dishes that have characterized cuisine during the war. One of these dishes involves chicken or beef mortadella, a processed food product more readily available than fresh meat, to prepare alternative recipes mimicking roasted chicken. Known as fake chicken, the dish is prepared by slicing the mortadella into long, thin pieces. The strips are seasoned with chicken or shawarma, spice blends, salt and black pepper. After that, they coat it with breadcrumbs and deep fry in oil. The technique is similar to how chicken breasts were commonly prepared before the war. With the mortadella, the result is a dish resembling crispy chicken fingers. Bread, essential to every meal in cuisine, disappeared from plates at a certain point during the Zionist regime's war in Gaza. Early on, the Israeli regime bombed Gaza's bakeries and deprived them of electricity, fuel, and flour, a recipe for famine. During the period of no bread and no flour, families who were able to buy the scarce quantities of pasta available on the market grind the pasta and use the resulting pasta flour to bake bread. Under famine conditions, the quality of light was chewy pasta bread loaves, which was neither bad nor good in flavor, was irrelevant, given the lack of alternatives to alleviate their hunger. When some of the bakeries reopened around this time last year, bread became available in Gaza once again. But the bakeries were unable to meet the high demand. Some people were even crushed to death after being trampled in a crowd waiting for bread. While some families are able to buy bread, others make bread at home using flour and bake the loaves in a clay oven amid the lack of gas and electricity. The firewood used to bake in clay ovens, like everything else in Gaza, comes at a high price and is therefore difficult to obtain. Some families pay a fee to use communal clay ovens to bake their bread. People are making do with whatever available in the market. The shortage of meat and poultry in Gaza has led many families to seek alternatives to ensure diverse meals. Among their alternatives, bulgur dried cracked wheat is an ideal choice. They prepare the chicken by soaking the bulgur in water until it becomes soft. Then they grind it, add spices and a little bit of breadcrumbs. After that, they mix everything together and shape it into long fingers. Then they dip it in flour and butter, followed by more breadcrumbs. Finally, they cook the fingers in a deep fryer, giving it the crunchy outer texture and soft inside that is reminiscent of fried chicken. Despite the harsh reality, people in Gaza insist that life must go on and that food must remain food, regardless of the circumstances.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Tour the pit.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Silence is never nothingness. It never was. It's full of confusing emotions, which remain unexpressed. It's full of unspoken words, which make our throat bleed, just like the sharp broken pieces of mirror. It's full of unresolved mysteries, tangled like numerous threads. It's full of an awkward madness, beyond all the limitations. Whether known or unknown, being comfortable with silence is a rare art.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, this is Asma, and we had a poem by Very Dear.
Yeah, this is Nahid, being so glad to be with you.
Yeah, well, as the introduction to this episode goes, today's discussion is going to be on silence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the question is, who are the people who deserve silence?
Well, first of all, too hard.
First of all, let's start it this way, that have you ever fought back anyone with silence?
Yes. It's one of my weapons.
Strategies. Yeah, I would take that as a strategy as well.
Right.
And I think that works.
And it works.
Yeah, perfectly.
But it depends.
Depends on the people who are around
you. On too many things.
Yeah.
Like, who are you going to have silence against?
Mm-hmm.
And do they know that this silence is used to show your madness, show your
anger?
Do
they have a brain to analyze why you are using your silence?
Exactly. So it depends on too many things, but usually silence is the best strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I usually say that in order to fight with silence, you need to have people who realize that silence as a worthy stuff.
Yeah, and they have to, like, evaluate it.
Exactly, to consider that.
Exactly. If Asma is quiet, I have to think, like,
yeah.
Have I done something, or it's just a hair wanting to be alone for a while?
Yeah, with many people, it doesn't feel like a thing.
Mm.
But there are some people who would consider it, specifically those people who know you. They are quicker to realize that there is something happening. Underneath your skin, you've got something.
That is why I think silence will work for those who will think.
Exactly. Do you use your silence for everyone?
No.
For every single person?
No. In some situations, you need to have your voice up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to talk to the person. You need to even shout.
Mm-hmm.
At least so that that person will understand what they have done. So not in all situations silence will work, but for those who will think, who will realize, and even many people, including myself, I feel embarrassed if I've done something and the other person is being quiet.
Yeah.
That silence hurts me.
And I keep asking myself, what have I done wrong?
So for us, I think it works.
But for us who use silence as a strategy, I guess, if anyone uses that strategy against us, we would go into
we'll
a
be tortured.
Yeah, we'd be brooding all the time. But then there, as I just told you, many people do not put too much of importance for silence.
Or they will take advantage of it and think, like, I had the right,
mm-hmm.
so see, I made that person silent.
Yeah, psychologically speaking, by the way, silence is not a very good way of dealing with issues.
Wow.
Psychologically speaking, in many occasions, it's not a good way, because if it happens between the people who love each other, then that means you are hopeless.
Quoting the poem, it will keep the mystery unresolved.
Exactly. It happens to us in everyday life that sometimes when we feel like there is no use coming out of my words, then I am totally frustrated with people around me. Then I tell myself that, okay, what's use of you talking when they're not going to understand you? That's why when I I actually seek refuge into my silence.
But actually it's an obstacle in communication.
Yeah, many times I have heard people telling me that if you had this in mind, why didn't you talk about it at all?
Same for me. Like, people want me to say the reason that I'm sad.
Yeah.
But because I prefer silence, the communication is being hurt, being caught.
The thing is, they ask us, why don't you say it? And then we are thinking about this in our throat.
But
why?
Why don't we say? Like, for me, it's as if there is no benefit.
I'm just telling you, you see, us, while they're asking those questions, we keep asking ourselves, oh, no, I'm so hopeless. It's not going to work. My words are not going to change anything.
Same happens to me.
Yeah, but the truth is, many times, words can change.
How? Many times when we talk event, we make the matter worse.
Unfortunately, yes, it happens to me as well. So I guess we can have some a thought theories right in here. That's why we go for a break and then we come back to see what's happening.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Well, the thought experiment I was just talking about is because most of the time when we talk, things get really complicated and much more perplexing. That's why I see my silence is much more valuable than my words, maybe, sometimes.
But Asma, I feel we need the limitation. We can be quiet and silent for a while, and then that is the reason they say whenever you are too mad at someone, just be silent for a while, count the psychological strategies, count to five, for example, and then keep talking.
Yeah.
So in this way, we will not end the connection. Mm-hmm. We will not stop our relationship by just the thought of something that made us mad.
Well, we were just talking about an experiment. Let's get into that experiment. Imagine you are with your friend who knows everything about you, and there's another person who's just a newcomer into your zone. You do not know much about them, like that person. And then the thing that happens is that you get into a situation. Then, which one do you prefer for which one of these people? Like, you're in a situation where you have to speak up. What would you do with your friend? And what would you do with that person who's a newcomer? Would you speak up with your friend or would you speak up with that newcomer?
Oh, it's too hard. It depends on the friend I am with. If the person is too close to me that I can explain to them, I can convince them.
Even if it's something that you know, if you explain more, you might get into a terrible fight.
I think it rarely happens with close friends. You know, with the close ones, you know how to communicate with them.
Yeah, we know that even if there's a fight, there's a comeback.
And you know the communication tricks with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in this way, I will go with my friend. Mm-hmm. Since the newcomer is a different person,
so you wouldn't
you
wouldn't actually keep it for yourself, and you wouldn't practice silence with your friend.
No,
but then
no,
with that
never.
Newcomer,
with my friend, no.
Yeah, but with that newcomer, unfortunately, one does not know how to react when they're kept in a situation which is unknown or unfamiliar to them, and this is, I guess, the main thing that we're talking about in today's episode. Like many times, it happens that we're stuck in a situation, we are silenced because we're stuck in a situation where the people around us are unfamiliar to us. That's why we do not speak up. And that's why we feel like if I talk more, then I would get into much more frustration. Then people would let me down even more.
Yes,
that's why I try to keep silent. But with my friend, even though I know that my friend might irritate, I know that she might get sad, mad, or anything, I would tell her.
We can fix it. We can make up.
Yeah. But even sometimes, you know, the problem gets really terrible when you keep that silence even with your friend.
Oh, no.
Has it ever happened to you?
No. With the closed ones, no.
Yes. See, even with the closed ones, like sometimes, considering of your childhood up until now, they're in different eras and phases of our life. We had friends whom we considered as close friends, and then there comes a climax,
and
a turning point. There comes a turning point in which you come to realize that, yes, all people have got their own idiosyncratic features. I remember one of my friends that I felt like we're so close, but after some occasions, like, you know, there are some evidences trying to prove themselves to you, but then because you love those people, you try to ignore them. Then as the matter gets to repeat itself every now and then, you come to realize that there is something wrong. At that point, as the result of, okay, I love this person, I try to protect myself, this friendship, actually. That's why I prefer to keep silent in many occasions, which I did not like very much with my friend. When our friendships get to this point that I have to keep silent in order to maintain this balance for our
friendship.
Yeah, it makes me feel like I have to get into a distance. Like, you know, what's the use of friendship if I have to keep my guard on?
That is why I say silence needs the limitations.
Yeah.
If it is ruining my friendship, mm-hmm. then why should I stay silent?
Yeah.
And the reason I chose my friend in the example that you made was that with my friends, I prefer not to be silent. I prefer to talk.
Exactly.
Like even if there's a fight. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we can solve the problem easier when we know each other. So this silence is not helping.
Exactly.
I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step. And that's when you opened the doors for me. Now.
When we do not know the whole truth about something, the whole story, we get so mad. And in these occasions, I guess, the person that is in front of us, no matter if they are your dear ones or no, they are outcomers, they are newcomers, whatever. I guess everyone deserves that moment of silence for you to get relaxed, to bring everything to a peaceful conclusion, and then decide what to say, because all the words that you say have got consequences. For this reason, I guess everybody deserves that moment of silence when you are angry.
Definitely.
Everybody in a perfect healthy relationship, I guess, everybody needs that moment of silence. And yeah, words have got a lot of meanings, but silence do as well. So when there is silence in front of you anywhere, try to search for reasons. Sometimes some silences are just deafening. So you have to search for the reasons. When someone who's so dear to you gets silent, trust me, there is something terribly wrong that you have to solve it. Because sometimes silence is the utmost way of showing to other people how frustrated I am.
Definitely. And bear in mind that for every silence, there should be the limitations, the stop point at which you need to just speak.
Yeah.
Have your voice up.
Exactly. So, everything in this world has got to be done in a way that is so deserving. Like, I guess for all the things that we are doing with the other people in this world, the interactions that we have to take a careful consideration of the fact that every single individual in this world has got a heart and they have a mind to analyze. So your words and your silence are going to be analyzed. That's why you have to take care of both. In some occasions, silence is worse than a dagger. And in some other occasions, silence is going to have a healing effect.
Power.
So time is running so fast, and it's the end of today's episode. I hope you have just enjoyed it. Until another session, I hope you would have people who respect your silence.
So till the another episode, wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ever since you left, I must confess, the world has become a total mess. You were the bridge that connected hearts, always there for us when we were in distress. Everywhere I look, I see your trace. You tried to make the world a better place. Oppressors will never forget your frown. The oppressed will not forget the smile on your face. Oh, how you shine like a constellation in the sky. Oh, how you shine in the minds of nations that hold you high. Oh, tell me how it feels under the tree of bliss. The trees you planted are missing you, but they've learned to blossom just like you. Though you were martyred mercilessly, an army of you is growing globally. 'Cause people are tired of all this prejudice. They wanna fight like you against injustice. Your name is Qasem Soleimani. You're a hero of humanity.
You defy the limits of intelligence, sending shivers down the spine of global arrogance. You decried oppression in every form, even though it put you in the eye of the storm. You extinguished the flames of terror far and wide. You helped countries to reclaim their land that was occupied. That's why people will remember you as a hero, though the powers that be will picture you as a foe. You see, they instigate the terror and manipulate the news so they can whitewash every crime to make the world confused. They can say what they want, let them curse at the mirror. Truth will always prevail, let them live in error.
You found the key to heaven's gate. Martyred for justice, what a noble fate. Your legacy will linger on. Forever your name we celebrate. Oh, how you shine like a constellation in the sky. Oh, how you shine in the minds of nations that hold you high. Oh, tell me how it feels under the tree of bliss. Oh, how you shine like a constellation.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli forces continue pounding the Gaza Strip with heavy air and artillery strikes, killing and injuring more Palestinian civilians. The United States conducts fresh airstrikes on Yemen to force the Arab country to stop its naval operations in support of the Palestinian people. And Iran marks the 46th anniversary of the historic referendum in which Iranians voted for the establishment of the Islamic Republic. Hello, everyone.
everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
Our top story, Israeli forces continue pounding the Gaza Strip with heavy air and artillery strikes, killing and injuring more Palestinian civilians. At least 10 civilians, including women and children, were killed in fresh Israeli attacks since